And our guest is Ken. Ken is a member of Berkeley Social Scene and Ken's Super Duper Band and Stuff, and Tiny Robots and Seamus Collective and Semolina Pilchards and Cutie Pies and Explino and Bravo Brothers and Two From 14 and Ken's Super Choctothorpe and Ken's Super Duper Car and Stuff and Swampy Nethers and Rocktronic. And I've missed probably another dozen or so, maybe more. Of course, Berkeley Social Scene has 290 songs in Song Fight, and that's not counting the spin-offs. Berkeley Social Scene themselves has 44 Song Fight wins. Ken Super Duper Band and Stuff has 8 Song Fight wins and 73 submissions. Seamus Collective has 12 songs with 7 wins. Tiny Robots has 7 songs with 5 wins. There's wins with Semolina Pilchards, Cutie Pies, Bravo Brothers, Two From 14, and more. Without diving super deep, I found 70 song fight wins, 70, and I'm sure a deeper dive would dig up several more. Same with songs in general. At a glance, Ken is involved with well over 400 songs in song fight under various names.
Holy
Also,
shit.
Berkeley Social Scene has won 5 different Narayan rounds, and Ken, submitting separately, won 3 rounds on his own. Ken won Song Fight Live in 2020 and 2021 and 2022.
I'm getting tired of all this winning. Jesus.
It's got to be embarrassing at some point. But and then in previous years, it was difficult for me to figure out. You've probably won more Song Fight Lives than that, so I just kind of stopped trying to look. And as if that weren't enough, in this song fight songwriting community, which is frankly overrun with hyper talented and nice people, Ken has a reputation of being an insanely talented and ridiculously nice salt of the earth type of guy. So welcome, Ken. I know I missed a bunch of your bona fides because there's just too many, but are there any that I missed that I should have mentioned?
Hi guys, thank you for having me, number one. And it's embarrassing when you say that stuff. When I say it, it sounds totally normal. I talk about this crap all the time. Which is to say, I don't keep track either. Other than to say I'm pretty sure I'm the most submitted song fighter there is, probably the most winningest. Mostly because I exploit my talented friends all the time. And it's I the biggest one you missed, of course, is the most recent, which is Yaks of the Industry, Elks of the Economy. One of the many, many song fight super bands that I, put together, or at least encouraged to make happen. It's crazy when you try to figure it out.
Yeah. And Yaks of the Industry has a wonderful percentage of wins too, right? Like a crazy amount. Yeah.
You put a bunch of people together that win pretty frequently, and then you're probably going to win. It's not hard when you have, JB on vocals and Mo writing music and Damien adding color and Sam and myself all just kind of putting our best ideas together and with very little ego getting in the way of just doing what's best for the song. I would say 90% of winning song fight is having a good vocalist. You know, like look at all the people who write great songs but maybe don't have the best vocals, who don't win as much as they probably should, right? Someone, I think the prime example of that, with as much love as I can give him is Paco del Stinco, right? Someone who took 200 whatever songs to win, most of them very, very good,
Oh, excellent.
right? But when you're up against, someone like Aaron singing or someone like, JB singing, Glenn Case, right? You're never going to beat that unless your voice is that good. And I wouldn't put my own voice at that level either. Maybe I just write a slightly better song once in a while.
Well, I think you kind of in comparison to Paco is also a wonderful comparison because you're both crazy talented multi-instrumentalists because I mean you play everything, right?
Yeah. And the other reason why it's easy to have a bunch of wins because you can play a bunch of different roles in the band and you still get credit for the win, whether you did everything or you did one thing. So I'm giving away all my secrets for anyone who wants to like
Also.
try to take my title. good luck to you. Get into three, you know, get into three bands a week for a while and see what you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. All you have to do is be insanely talented and be able to play every instrument and then be able to submit to every song fight for a couple of decades and you might be the next Ken.
it does take a little bit of time. That's true. But you know, like my idol is Patrick Clayton, right? I would like to do a fight where I'm in every single song of the fight, right? And I haven't achieved that yet. And I've come close, but it's hard. You have to like reach out to a bunch of people and be like, hey, if you're going to do a song this week, can I be a part of it?
Yeah, that's got to be super difficult because a lot of people don't submit their lyrics. A lot of people you don't know until it's already there. Of course, I hear you have an in with the fight master, so you might...
Yeah, you gotta go to some song fight lives. You gotta get to know people on the inner circle, right? And that's also helpful, right? When you can get a little bit of grace when you need it, like, hey, my song's running a little late, or, I mean, also knowing enough people where, hey, this song isn't going to be complete without X, Y, or Z, and being able to pull someone in to do that. So, you know, so many of my solo songs, you know, Sam is playing on them, right? He's playing lead guitar. He's throwing the solo in there, so I don't have to struggle with something I don't do well, right? Or I can get Aaron to come over and sing some. I mean, now that they're in Bend, it's a little harder, but, you know, I used to be able to get Aaron to walk two blocks to my house and sing some backup vocals.
Nice. Right? So Sam, Ken, you're primarily known as a drummer, right? Is that what you started with and then picked up other instruments, or did you begin on a different instrument?
That's a great, great factoid. Well done. let's see. So I've just always wanted to play music my whole life. Basically, I think whenever I saw the Partridge Family as a child, I was like, that's what I want to do, like fix my troubled family by a song somehow. So I did have one guitar lesson when I was five, when I was in kindergarten, played the clarinet for 2 years in school band. And then in the fifth grade, I started playing the drums. And yeah, that was my main instrument for a long time. And played the drums in elementary school, junior high school, college. And along the way, started to pick up all the other things that I really wanted to be doing, which is learning how to play guitar. You know, once you know how to play guitar, you kind of know how to play the bass. You know, you start picking up some piano. Once you kind of have all those basics, it's easy to start just hoarding anything you can get your hands on if you're someone who loves playing music the way that I do, and I'm sure the way that you do. I'm, you know, classically trained percussionist, play drums in a lot of bands, you know, a lot of non-songfight bands along the way, especially as a drummer. But always also wanted to be a singer-songwriter in my own right. So maybe it's the fact that I'm a Gemini, you know, this is a Glenn Case thing. When Glenn Case and I met each other, we're like, oh, okay, this makes a lot of sense now. Like, you sort of get that, like, you're the kind of the same person. It's like, you just love it so much. You want to do it so much. You just have this voracious appetite for listening, learning, thinking, remembering, right? And Glenn is on a whole other level than I'll ever be. But you get to see those similarities of what it means to really be passionate about, you know, about music and about being both someone who loves hearing other people's music and also, you know, contributing your own to the world.
You've had a lot of involvement in the Songfight Lives recently. I want to say you like produced, what was it, 2020 or 2021? You were the MC. You, of course, you've won them all. but yeah, I'm sorry.
All of that is true. Let's see, where we go if we're talking about Songfight. Like, I found out about Songfight through some bandmates that I had when I first moved to Berkeley, California. I graduated college in San Diego. I moved to Berkeley, started working at the university, and I met a couple of guys there. And they went to that second Songfight show in San Francisco. I didn't know about Songfight. But basically, they came back from that show and were like, this is the thing for you. Right? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then they're like, they explain a little bit. I'm like, oh yeah, that is for me. You're right. And it took me a while to have enough recording gear at home to, like, you know, you had to kind of build up. It was, you know, early 2000s. every computer did not come with GarageBand, right? You had to find, like, gear was not everywhere. You couldn't go to Best Buy and buy an interface and a microphone. Like, stuff was expensive. It was hard to get. I was just starting out, you know, just my first jobs, you know, all that stuff. I'm still recording music on my 4-track, you know. So I got involved with SongPi with there. And then SongPi Live came along up in Seattle, 2001, 2002. And I think the only reason I really went is because I had happened to meet Blue Lang because he lived near me and had gone down to Palo Alto or wherever he was to visit his studio. And he's like, I'm going, you should go. And I think I even missed my flight. It was this whole nightmare, but I show up to Seattle and Spud picks me up and there's Fluffy and we're looking for Roymon. And it's like, you realize it's the internet. I have no idea what any of these people look like. We're trying to find some guy that we don't know his real name. We don't know. Like, it was a whole thing at the Seattle airport, the three of us, but it was a lovely time. Right. And it was like summer camp. And I don't know. Did you guys go to summer camp when you were kids?
Yeah.
Like summer camp. Yeah. Right. And it's this very intense, like, we're best friends for a week and then we'll never see each other, you know? And SongPi Live was really, really like that. And there were a couple of really, you know, touchstone moments for me where, you know, we were hanging out in the old Octothorpe barn, which burned, you know, burned to the ground or something terrible like that. But it's like, you know, I went record shopping with the Susies, right? So three kids from Canada, I didn't know at all. You know, I went to the EMP with MC Frontalot and it was like, who is this guy who, you know, I didn't have any idea, right? But the point of my story was, oh, Hoblet, our good friend, Mr. Hoblet. So I was staying with some friends and SongPi was going late and he had to go home and he had driven me. So he's like, let's drive back to my house and you take my car and come back. So I did that. I went home, I came back to the show. And when I got back, Hoblet was distraught that he did not know where I was.
Oh.
Right? And when he saw me and I was back, he's like, thank God you're here. Everything's like, and it was kind of that moment where I looked around the room like, oh, I get it. It's summer camp.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. We have been spending, you know, whatever it is this weekend together and we are now all best friends.
That is right? So cool.
And that's true. And 20, whatever years later, you know, all those folks, it's really great to see them. And, you know, the internet has gotten better over that time. So in some ways we feel closer because we can still, we're on Slack all day long, you know, every day chatting, and we've done all these SongPi Lives every year. And even for me, I think it took a few years to move from like, oh, so all of these people are already friends and that's why they're in SongPi, right? John, Jay, right? JB, Frankie Big Face, 1516 Puzzle, Pray for Mojo, right? All the Jeff Fall, like all these guys who knew each other from college. I felt like an outsider because I'm like, oh, all these guys know each other already. I'm just some kid from California. It took a few years of SongPi for me to realize, oh no, I'm like, it's fine. I can sit at the table with the big boys, right? And that's when you start to realize, oh, okay, I now understand who the fight master is. Oh, I understand how the titles are chosen, right? And you just start to like hear the stories of how things work behind the scenes. Then you kind of become part of them.
So wait, you know how the titles are chosen? Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, I do. And they're chosen by the Fight Master. The Fight Master loves suggestions, right? And that suggestion thread, I think there's a suggestion thread.
Yeah, yeah.
Times, right? It's not that they don't. But Deep Throat is always a person or a collective of people, right? It's not some mystery. And you know, if you're lucky, like I was at one point, that was me. I got to play the Deep Throat role. So
oh, that's so cool.
That you can blame me for.
what is your favorite title out of that role?
Oh, well, honestly, I don't even remember. This is how bad it is. The song fight. And me, when you do so much, right? When you write so many songs, you do all this stuff. But for a while, the way that I would always send the Fight Master two titles because I didn't want anyone to think that I knew what the title was ahead of time. Right. Like, I also have a lot of integrity when it comes to SongPi. Even though your earlier point that, yes, I'm friends with the Fight Master does have some benefits. But I have a lot of integrity. So I would always send Fight Master two titles so that they could choose one or the other. And without saying who was doing it at the time, I was basically taking things their wife had posted to social media and making titles out of them.
Okay.
And that's where a bunch of our titles came from for a while.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Now I'm trying to parse out which ones. I'm gonna go through that list.
And see if you can corroborate anything.
Yeah.
None of that really quite explains my involvement with putting on the Song by Life. So I have a long DIY history, right? So, you know, I was playing in bands in the 90s and, you know, recording our own records and putting them out ourselves and putting on shows. So I knew how to do all that stuff. And when I realized like Song Fight Live was fun, but it was only happening once a year, I just started putting on a bunch of shows in the city. There were enough of us here in the Bay Area where we could put on a Song Fight sort of show. And so basically I created Song Fight Presents because it wasn't Song Fight Live, right? And it was just a time where it was easy to have my, you know, Ken's Super Duper Band and stuff, right? Ken and the New Incredibles, Son of Supercar, DeBose Triangle, and everything that kind of spreads off from that. And we had just enough cachet where people would come in from out of town. So Pray for Mojo was come, you know, Adjuster, the Landfills, right? And we had enough people where if nobody else came, there was still a show. And if a couple more people came from out of town, all the better. And so I would just look for places where we can put on shows and, you know, got in touch with the Accordion Space, which is the space that first Song Fight show in the city had taken. And it was just worth it to me to pay a couple hundred dollars to rent the venue for the night. We had all the gear and we would just kind of advertise. And even if nobody came, if it was just us, you know, one of the nice things about Song Fight Live is that when you have a dozen bands, you have enough crowd there that you don't need outsiders to show up, right? You have this kind of built-in audience. So we did those shows for whatever, a couple of years, and they were really fun. And then it just kind of became like, look, I know how to put on a show. I have all the gear. I've done this before. You know, we were happy to volunteer to do it here. Organizing the Song Fight Tour that one year was really fun, where we kind of did a bunch of shows on the West Coast in sequence, right? And the whole idea was really that it would just keep going around the country, that song fighters across the country would put the next one on and like add on, and it could just go on forever, this like never-ending Song Fight Tour. And that's also just part of, you know, it's cool to meet people, right? Like, and it's, you know, now look at us, we're just sitting here on a video call chatting. 20 years ago, you couldn't do that. To meet someone, you had to see them in person, right? So there's a bit of like old schoolness to it, but definitely for a while, because I'd gone to so many Song Fight Lives, because we'd invited so many people to come to California. And in fact, I think that Song Fight Present show was probably most inspired because the Susies came to town on tour and couldn't find a venue in the Bay Area. So I threw a house party and had to play at my house. And then, you know, my band played, and I think we pulled somebody. I know Spud came and Roymond showed up. Like, he just happened to be in town that day. He came up to my house. And I think that was kind of the genesis of like, oh, wait, we could just put on shows anytime.
Wow.
So all of these things kind of built one on top of the other. And I did. I totally felt like mayor of Songfight Town for quite a while. Because I had met more people than most people had met because I'd gone to so many things.
Yeah. But I mean,
does that answer your question in any way?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that and more. I'd like to kind of also assert that, you know, in my own experience, I think that sort of a feeling is continuing, that a lot of this is very accessible. If you, you know, especially if you've already done a couple of song fights and or Nur Eins or something, if you're kind of out there and you kind of get the hang of song fight, you can almost immediately reach out to people to collaborate. You know, you can attend and perform at song fight and you'll have the support of this big community. And I mean, I don't want to make it sound like it's more organized than it is, but it is sort of. I mean, we have the Songfight bulletin board to help people get organized, but also it's pretty casual and very friendly and very collaborative. So yeah, I mean, just in our own experiences, you know, we've only been at it submitting songs for about 5 years or so. I know you've been at it for more than 20, but still nothing has changed all that much that way.
From what I understand, it didn't used to be all that friendly. Like, is friendliness a relatively new thing?
I think you're right in a lot of ways because it's less anonymous now, right? When Song Fight started, it was very anonymous. You couldn't figure out who somebody was. You couldn't look at their Facebook profile. They were a random name on an internet board, and that's it. And you, you know, you turned on your dial-up and went on this board, right? And people, I think, were more eager to tear people down, both to be helpful and not, right? And I would like to think that Songfight is the way it is now because the people who didn't want to tear people down just because being a troll on the internet was easier are gone, right? And the people who stayed are the people who actually like being part of this and want to be helpful to people, even if that means being critical at times. And, you know, let's get to listening to these songs and we'll show people how to be the nicest guy on Songfight and still talk about how shitty their songs are. One thing I did just think of while you were saying, while you guys were talking, is I think the other thing that worked in my favor, which goes back to how this conversation started, is that there weren't a lot of drummers in the Songfight community, right? It's mostly some guys in their bedroom who can sort of play guitar. You build a lot of goodwill when you learn people's songs and make them look good on stage when it's, you know, second time on stage, right?
All right. Is there anything else you want to just generally chat about before we launch into the reviews? I should warn you, we have a listenership in the high single digits. So
I mean, my mom will definitely listen to this.
Okay.
Which is also how I won my first song fight.
Mom flooding.
I just love that my mother thought that if she voted for me 1,000 times, it would make a difference. And I think she was a little crestfallen when she found out that's not how the voting works.
Oh, nice try though, Mom.
Nice try. My mother is very, very supportive of being a musician and just loves it so much. So I think she was really excited that I was in a contest and that I could win. Not knowing. But yeah, you definitely, I don't know, you guys, you all must have won a few times at least. You understand that eventually it can't be about that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's mostly, I think, about making songs. Well, here's something we could talk about. I mean, for us, mostly it's making songs that we're happy with and that we want to listen to ourselves and things like that. But after 400 songs, does it get to the point where it's a bit of an assembly line for you? Or is it some weeks it's like that, but other weeks it's genius and inspiring? Or how does that go for you?
It becomes craft for me. It's more about craft than art in a lot of ways, because Songfight's just a great practice of making music, right? Of course, you always try your best, but you're going to be more or less inspired in a particular week. Mm-hmm. So the times when you're inspired and you write a song and you're wondering where that song came from, that's fantastic. Equally good is the times where you are sitting there banging your head against the wall, like, I'm not getting up from this computer until there's a song. And both have value to me. So that's part of why I can do so many songs, because I don't mind writing 3 sets of lyrics in a week. Part of it is habit, right? Berkeley Social Scene meets every week. And we have time set aside to do this thing, to play Songfight. Do it. And some ways it can be a little repetitious, but you know, we also, it's a good time to hang out with our friends. We make something up. Some weeks it's great. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes not so good. I don't know. Is it weird to say like music is pizza for me? Like it's usually always pretty good.
That's a good analogy.
No, that's good. I mean, like, you know, you can sort of take it the way that, you know, some authors do it. You know, there's authors that, you know, get up at 7 and write from 8 to noon, and that's their thing. And whether they're inspired or not, they sit in front of that typewriter and do stuff. And if you and your compatriots, you know, meet or collaborate on Tuesdays or whatever you have your recording space and you have an appointment to do that, then you're going to generate something, whether or not you're inspired, then that's also kind of the same sort of a deal, I think.
Yeah. And that's the nice thing about having collaborators, right? You don't always have to be the one who's inspired.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Great. Should we move on to the reviews?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Review along.
All right. a lot of our previous podcasts have been a little Berkeley social scene heavy, so we're just going to skip them. No, I'm kidding. We're going to go in reverse alphabetical order, just so that we can end up with a Berkeley social scene and Trickatory.